the beauty of that skin. Not the wisdom that it was laced with, but it took the Spirit to work on individuals' hearts for them to see who they were in the problem. Amen. To see who they were in the problem. And the beauty of it was that the Spirit of the Lord could touch a heart to heal a system that was toxic for a long time. And I don't know if you caught, but their kids had grown up dealing with the same stuff. And so your decisions and your choices don't just impact you. And today, I'm going to close out this series on seeing at the next level. I'm closing it out with the story of Jacob. And the reason why I'm using Jacob is because Jacob is really tantamount to what went on with Israel. Also the experience that Isaiah had when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. The experience that Israel had when they had an invitation to come to the mountain of God and was shocked by the training that God wanted to give them and decided that they weren't going to have a conversation with God. And when the word stopped flowing, when God stopped speaking, they started making their own God, their own golden calf. And so I want to talk about that this morning through the frame of Jacob. And the reason why I want to use Jacob is because in the book of Psalms records God having the moniker as the God of Jacob. He didn't say the God of Israel. He said the God of Jacob, which means God embraced the worst part. I wish I had help. He embraced the worst part, even though he changed his name. But he's recorded as the God of Jacob in the book of Psalms because he still embraces the worst part. As a matter of fact, if you read about Jacob's life, his name is interchangeable throughout scripture from Jacob to Israel, from Israel to Jacob, and Israel to Jacob, and Jacob to Israel. It goes back and forth because God is not fleeting. Come on here, somebody. He's not fleeting. So he embraces the best part of you. He embraces the worst part of you, and he never leaves you nor forsake you. So I want to take you to Genesis real quick. Come on, I won't have you standing long. Genesis, the 35th chapter. And if you'll bear with me, I promise to get you where we need to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis, the 35th chapter. And I want to read just a few pieces of verse from here to help you understand the context of this text. The Bible says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." And the Bible says, "Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that appeared unto him, unto thee, that was with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." I want you to skip to verse 9. Skip to verse 9. And verse 9 says, "And God appeared unto Jacob again, and when he came out of Paddan Aram, and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob, and thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And the Bible says, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured out a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. Father, I thank you for the word of the living God. I thank you for its purpose and its intentions. For the word of God is quickening. It makes the come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of the heart. Father, we need a word from you. We need to hear from you. Without a word from you, we can't live. No one needs my ideas or my concepts. No one needs my philosophy. No one needs my knowledge. For those things don't have the power to change anything, but your word does. So use me as a vessel of clay this morning. Anoint these lips that they may echo your voice. Speak by your power, by your spirit. Touch a heart so it's open to receive it. Anoint ears so that they can hear it. Have your way in this place. Somebody needs to hear a word from you. Do what only you can do. Heal, deliver, set free. Bring peace where there was torment. Bring healing where there was affliction. Bring joy when there was sorrow. Do what only you can do, and we'll give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, you'll agree. Shout amen. Amen. Now turn to your neighbor. Come on, smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with. And look at them and say, this is a second chance. This is a second chance. Find somebody else on the other side of you and say, this is a second chance. This is a second chance. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's a second chance. Yeah, yeah. I want to quickly cause you to understand something about Jacob, because Jacob gets a bad rap in Scripture. And the reason Jacob gets a bad rap in Scripture, because his name means trickster or swindler or supplanter. His name was given to him in his mother's womb when it was prophesied in Genesis 25 that there were nations in Rebekah's womb. There were two nations wrestling in her womb. And the Bible says when the eldest son came out, they called him Esau because he was red and hairy all over. And then the younger son came out, they called him Jacob because he was holding on to the heel of his brother Esau. And so Jacob got that name when he was a child. He did not get that name because of something he did. He got that name because it was a child. We know that, we believe he got that name because he tricked his brother out of his birthright, but you have to understand his brother didn't want it. And not only did his brother not want it, it was prophesied that he would get it. I'm gonna say it again. Not only did his brother not want it, it was prophesied that he would get it. Not only did his brother not want it, it was prophesied that he would get it. So it wasn't about tricking Esau more than it was about a prophetic word coming to pass that God had already declared. Touch your neighbor one more time and say, nobody can have your spot. Nobody can have your spot. God is unswervingly intentional about what he does. The reason why nobody can have your spot is because of the intentionality of God. So when God destines something or predestines something, he does it on purpose. And when he does it on purpose, he puts in the individual everything that they need to fulfill the purpose. So not only does God reserve your spot, he also gives you all of the tools that you need to fulfill that spot when he brings you to that spot. But you have to discover it. And that's the process that we have difficulty with. Jacob gets this bad rap because everyone believes that he tricked his brother out of something that was already his. He didn't trick his brother, he tricked his father. And in tricking his father, it wasn't even his idea. It was his mother's idea. The point I'm trying to make to you is that Jacob is now walking around for the rest of his life holding an identity that's not even really his. He's living a life that other people gave him, and he succumbed to the idea that he was a trickster and a swindler, and so he started to do what other people said he was. My point is, stop allowing individuals to label you and call you something that God has not created you to be. You're more than that. Oh, look at your neighbor, say, you're more than that. Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, I know your mama called you lazy. You're more than that. I know they said you wouldn't be nothing. You're more than that. I know they said you don't have the pedigree and you don't meet up to the right degree or the right element, or you don't have the right capability, but you're more than that. I know they told you that you don't have the pedigree, that you didn't come from the right stuff, but you're more than that. Do you know the Bible says that you are more than a conqueror? You're not even a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You gotta see yourself as the scripture sees you. The reason you're more than a conqueror is because you've already been through hell and back and still got a praise on your lips. Who am I talking to in this room? You've already been through some rough places, but you're still here blessing the Lord at all times. I wish I had 20 crazy folk in the room and say, if you only knew, oh God, I feel it, what I've been through, you wouldn't look at me like you're looking at me right now. You're more than a conqueror. Yeah, yeah. Look at your name and say, you're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You have to start seeing yourself as scripture sees you. And the thing I love about that, idea is the sovereignty of how God selects. God doesn't need your opinion on how he wants to use you. Nor does he need anybody else's opinion. As a matter of fact, scripture spells out and says for us, and I want to take my time with this as much time as I have, and I ain't got a lot, but the time I got, I'm going to take it. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, 26-29, God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. As a matter of fact, if God only chose the strong, if he only chose the noble, if he only chose the brilliant, then most of us in this room would be disqualified from doing anything from the Lord. I really wish I had some people that came from the wrong side of the tracks, that made some horrible mistakes in their life, that messed it up, that know they don't even really deserve to be where they really are, but it was the grace of God that they came into contact with that changed their trajectory, and now they got a testimony to tell the world. Oh, look at your name and say, I ain't even supposed to be here. I wish I had somebody to talk to. The accident should have took me out. My parents should have took me out. My upbringing alone should have killed me. I shouldn't even be here. What I had to go through as a child should have took me out of here. Oh, you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about it because you've embraced that part of your story, and it has now become a part not only of your biography, but now it's your biology. You've taken all that you've gone through, and it has been embedded within your heart and your soul and your spirit, and it's shaping your identity so much so that you have an unhealthy self-concept. And when you have an unhealthy self-concept, you can't appreciate hindsight. So all of your hindsight has a bias attached to it. That means you remember the incidences incorrectly. You don't hear what I'm saying. Yeah, it happened, but it didn't happen the way you imagined it happened. It wasn't as severe as you thought it was. Because if it was as severe as you thought it was, you would not be here right now. There's no way you could be sitting in this room in your right mind if it was as severe as you imagined it when it happened to you. I gotta get it. All right. So the Bible says, as a matter of fact, I want to read the scripture to you. The Bible says, for you see your calling, brother, and how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world of things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I'm really trying to get over to you. I don't know if I'm doing a really good job, but I'm really trying to get over to you that you know the position that you're in right now, regardless of the status, you really shouldn't be holding it. That somehow, some way, yeah, you worked hard. Yeah, you got your education, but God had to open a door and God had to shift some stuff and God had to make a way out of no way. And oh, don't you sit up in here. And God had to move some stuff around. Oh, God, come on here. The importance of what I'm trying to say to you is that is how God operates with us. See, God is not performance oriented. We are. Stay with me. He's not performance oriented because if he were, he would have not picked you. And he would have not picked me. He would have not called all of us. He would have not chosen all of us. He'd have chosen a select few. So the church would be full of Pharisees. I can't get out. And Sadducees, because they're pious. You don't hear me. I was never pious. I was pathetic. I wish I had somebody. But yet God said, I called you and formed you in your mother's womb to be a prophet of God to the nations with your pathetic self. I wish I had somebody to really see. I'm really, really trying to drive home the point of who you really are. You cannot afford in this season to embrace a counterfeit identity of who you think you are. You cannot afford to allow religion or people or position or status to put you in a corner and make you out to be something that you're not. Because the enemy is banking on the fact and building up the pressure so that you can be exposed as a fraud. You're not a fraud. You don't hear what I'm saying. You're just flawed. And it is those flaws that God wants you to discover and embrace and say, I'll still be your God with all of your flaws. I'll still bless you. I'll still keep you. I'll still love you. And what religion has really taught us is how to cover it up real good. How to have a false self-concept. How not to be really self-aware. You don't hear me. How to try to take somebody else's blessing and somebody else's destiny. We created a culture that suggested, I know I'm more churchy than most, but we created a culture in the body of Christ that suggested that I can knock you out of the way, take your blessing and get mine too. That's not even scriptural. The reason it is not scriptural is because God has foresight. You don't hear what I'm saying. And he declares the end from the beginning. So if God declares the end from the beginning, you can't have my spot because God determined that I would be in it at the end. That's why the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So regardless of what place I am in, God has already predestined my spot. Oh, I feel a shift anointing in this room. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God's about to shift my place. Oh God, I feel it already. I was in last place, but after this moment and this season of shifting, the first shall be last and the last shall. Let me. God is not as performance oriented as we think he is. His discernment has a lot of depth to it. Yeah. If you read your Bible, Malachi 1 and 3, the Bible says it's a very peculiar place in scripture. It's auspicious, if you will. It says that Jacob has I love, but Esau has I hated. And I asked myself, God, why'd you hate Esau? That's jacked up. I mean, dag, I know the brother gave up his birthright, but that's not what he was saying at all. The King James Version does a poor job of trying to articulate the thought of God. And so God is not saying I hate Esau. He's saying I didn't choose Esau because Esau didn't have the capacity that I needed for the purpose I had in store. That's why I prophesied that the younger brother would be served by the elder brother, because the elder brother didn't like spiritual things. Esau was so busy with who he was, he didn't want to embrace with what God had for his life. His whole identity was wrapped in his ability. But Jacob was so messed up that he started to look for God on how he could get out of his mess up and say, God, make me over. See, when you get real desperate, oh God, who am I talking to? When you get real desperate for God, he says, I can use you. And God is looking for messed up folk that say, God, make me over. I can't be like this. I can't live like this. I can't function like this. Esau was satisfied with who he was. Jacob wasn't. And that's why God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And he wasn't talking about two people, he was talking about two nations. Because he told Rebekah that nations are coming out of your womb. And there are two nations that are wrestling in there. And one I can use, one I can. Did you know that you are not the big picture? Did you know there's a reason why you have to cry out to be made over? Did you know there's some folk that God has called you to that's waiting for you to come into the next version of yourself so that you can be set free enough to let them know? I got to get off of this. I was sitting in a meeting. So, yeah, and I know it's not easy. I was sitting in a meeting. You don't always get to see what other people see in you. And I was sitting in a meeting, and I went just because it was one I talked about earlier. And I was invited, so I went. And one of our, the organization that I started, Faithfully Leads for Excellent Schools, the executive director was leading the panel, and I wanted to go support her. And so I'm there, and people are coming up to me and talking about all the stuff I'm doing and how it impacted their life and the stuff they're doing. Pastors was running up to me talking about how they're going to do Living Hope campaigns and help their community and get involved and so forth and so on. And I'm sitting there like, okay, that's cool. Like, I'm oblivious. I don't even know. I'm like, why are y'all telling me? Oh, I don't care. It's all good. Go ahead and help yourself. And finally, it was an old preacher that came up to me and says, you know they're coming up to you, sir, because you made the motto. And so they're just letting you know how you impacted their lives. And I said, what? He says, yeah. And then he looked at me and says, when are you going to discover who you really are? And I want to pose the same question to you. When are you going to discover who you really are? I can't stay there. It's just a question. It's just a question. God is not arbitrary in his choices. He doesn't do it by favoritism, you see. Yeah. It's done by discernment. And so he knew that Jacob would have a spiritual capacity that Esau didn't. And God is interested in nation building. No, God, he's not interested in name building. He's interested in nation building. Oh, he's not interested in name building. Oh, I wish I had a church to preach to. He's interested in nation building. And so he pursues you persistently, because when you're desperate like that, he says, I can use an individual that's messed up to build a nation. I can use an individual that got it all jacked up and got it all wrong, but want to change and want to be made over and want to be different, and became humble enough to know that you ain't got it all together, who is tired of hiding behind the smiley mask and coming to church and acting like everything is all right, but said, God, I got to break out of this mess. I got to take off the spirit of heaviness and somehow change my clothes. I got to. And so God sovereignly selects individuals like that through discernment. I got to hurry up and get to where I need to go. And so we understand that God chose Jacob for this moment. And Jacob really, even though he gets a bad rap in scripture, he takes the prophetic route and he gets the birthright. And when he gets the birthright, he has to leave. And when he gets the birthright, he's not young. He's actually a middle-aged man. He's not a teenager. He's not in his 20s. He's not a millennial. You don't hear what I'm saying. He's not even in his 30s. He's not even in his 40s. He's not even in his 50s. He's a middle-aged man. We know this to be true because Isaac is now old and his eyes are dim and he can't see. I wish I had somebody in here. And now it comes the time for the next generation to take this thing to the next level, and he has to come in and trick his way seemingly into the blessing. But when he gets it, he's not a teenager. He's not a 20-year-old. He's not a 30-year-old. He's not a 40-year-old. He's a middle-aged man. Some theologians believe he was over 80 years old when he received the blessing and the birthright. You don't hear what I'm saying. He, for a long time, embraced a plain life. And that's why the Bible says he was a plain man. And for years, he did not embrace his identity until his mother said, listen, you weren't there when they prophesied to me that you would run this thing. You weren't around when I was given this word. And so she convinced him to put on some deer skin hair on his arms and to make a venison like his father likes, and to go and get the blessing from his dad. But the blessing was already his. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't gotta trick your way into it. Oh, I wanna talk to somebody. You ain't gotta swindle nobody. You ain't gotta con nobody. You ain't gotta cheat. You don't hear what I'm saying. You ain't got to cheat. You ain't got to con. It's yours already. Look at your name and say, it's already yours. It's already, God, I'll hear it. It's already yours. And so the Bible says once he get it, now he gets this blessing. And once he gets this blessing, he has to get married. And for 20 years, he serves his uncle Laban. Laban was more gruesome of a trickster than he was. And it taught Jacob some discipline, because Jacob has to discover who he really was. Jacob didn't know who he was, so much so that he messed around and served Laban for 7 years for a woman that he didn't even want. You don't hear what I'm saying. Leah. And he gets Leah and marries Leah. You know he messed up because he didn't even know he was tricked when he married Leah. How you don't know? Y'all gonna miss this. How you don't know who you are marrying when you marry them? The reason you don't know who you're marrying when you're marrying them is because you don't know you. And because you don't know you, you can't know them. Oh, y'all miss me all over again. Y'all miss me all over again. He marries Leah, and then 7 years later marries Rebekah, and 20 years he serves Laban, and after the 20 years, the Bible says he leaves Laban, and he goes into his own, and when he goes into his own, he has to embrace his brother for the very first time, Esau. He tricked Esau, seemingly, at Bethel. Bethel was the place where he got the birthright, and he left Bethel and left, and when he left 20 years later, he now served Laban. He is 120 years years old. I wish I had somebody in here when he leaves. And now all of a sudden the Bible says after, my God, he has to embrace his brother and he's running from Esau. God meets him at a place called Peniel. Peniel is where God begins to wrestle with Jacob because he has to let him know, this is not who I created you to be. Jacob is so strong in his identity that God has to break his hip in order to get him to let him go. Your identity won't leave you automatically. You're going to have to be broken in some places in order for your identity to leave your life. That's why you're walking around with the limp you got right now, because God had to break you. He had to break you of those habits. He had to break you of those people. He had to break you of those places. He had to break you of those mindsets. He had to break you. And you can't get blessed until you get broken, because blessed is synonymous with broken. I wish I had somebody in here. You can't get blessed until you allow yourself to get broken. Jacob is wrestling with the angel. And the Bible says that the angel is wrestling and tussling, and Jacob is so strong that the angel had to touch his thigh in order for him to let him go. And Jacob still said, no, sir, I will not let you go until you bless me. In other words, you can break me, but you gotta bless me as well. Oh God, you don't hear what I'm saying. And he kept asking the angel his name. He says, what's your name? And the angel says, my name is irrelevant. But at that place, he says, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. You would think after having an experience like that, that Jacob would finally know who he was. You would think he would have a crystal clear identity and stop wrestling with this false concept, counterfeit version of who he was. But he didn't. 30 years passed by. It's quiet. You have an encounter with God. You're wrestling. And God breaks you and heals you at the same moment. And changes your nature. Said, this is who you really are. And scripture never records his name as Israel after that, just Jacob. 30 years of just being Jacob. 30 years of hiding from Esau. Because you think you tricked your way into your destiny. When it was prophesied that it was yours in the first place. So you let somebody talk you out of what belongs to you because they told you you don't belong. Because they told you this isn't for you and you believed it. 30 years of living in mediocrity, 30 years of hiding from something you didn't do. 30 years of being afraid of your own shadow. 30 years of letting all hell break loose in your family and disrupt everything that God is trying to put together. 30 years of allowing your family to serve other gods and do whatever they want to do when God called you to be the head of your home. 30 years of letting your marriage run dry. 30 years of letting your spirit run dry. 30 years of your dream on the shelf. 30 years of you saying, I don't have it, I can't do it. 30 years of talking about what you ain't got, but not 1 year talking about what you do got. 30 years of negative, toxic, poor self-concept, self-image, and self-esteem about who you are for 30 years. 30 years. And in that 30 years, Jacob's hindsight finally got healed. His hindsight got healed. His hindsight no longer had a bias attached to it. Because in that 30 years, he began to look over his life and go, God really picked me. I'm talking to somebody in this room. In that 30 years, he finally realized God really picked me. And it came to his awareness that God picked him not based on his performance, but rather on his affirmation. You see, God affirms who we are before he celebrates what we do. All of your life, you've been celebrated for what you do, and you've not really been affirmed for who you are. You don't hear what I'm saying. Ever since you started trying to crawl and walk, you've been being celebrated, you don't hear what I'm saying, for what you do, but you're not being affirmed for who you are. God came to Jacob when he was jacked up and said, your name is no longer Jacob, it's Israel. Jesus came to Peter when he was jacked up, you don't hear what I'm saying, and said, your name is no longer Simon, it's Peter. The Lord shined a light down on the Apostle Paul when he was still persecuting Christians and said, your name is not going to be Saul, but it's going to be Paul. Abram, my God, had lied about who he was, and God still chose him in that condition. God affirms who you are before he celebrates what you do. So your hindsight is sick because you think God is mad at your performance. You don't hear what I'm saying. He ain't mad at your performance. He's upset that you continue to hide in an identity that really does not belong to you. And so he keeps disrupting your life until you wake up out of that image of who you think you are, and he keeps coming to break you and heal you and heal you and break you and break you and heal you and heal you and break you and break you and heal you and heal you and break until you go, aha, I get it now. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I get it now. He actually picked me with my messed up self. He actually chose me with my jacked up history. Oh, look at somebody dead in the eye and say, he picked you. I wish I had time to talk about it. He picked you with your nicotine lips. He picked you with, I wish I had somebody in here. He picked you. He picked you. I got a minute. 30 years had elapsed since God first arrested Jacob. 30 years. And you would think God would have abandoned him. Oh God, 30 years of being stubborn and rebellious. 30 years of turning your back on God, and you would think that God abandoned him. Any person would have been said, bye. Any person would have said, it's shaking time, leave me alone. But God will shake you and keep you. And when he shakes you, stuff will leave you, but you'll stay. I wish I had somebody in here. God will shake you, you don't hear what I'm saying, and say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Most people would have left you a long time ago. God comes to Jacob 30 years later and says to him, get up, go to Bethel. It's your second chance. Get up, go to Bethel. It's your second chance. Get up, go to Bethel. It's your second chance. I could have made this message the second chance. The third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance, the sixth chance, the tenth chance, the 20th chance, the 100th chance, the 1,000th chance. I was saying, for God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the very end. Slap your neighbor high five and say, he ain't gonna leave you, baby, until you get up and go to Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. Slap your name and say, I'm going home. Come on here. Because I got another chance to embrace who I really am. I am more than a conqueror. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm going back to what God called me to do. I wish I had 10 folk in the room that'll get real serious real quick and say, I got another shot at destiny. I got another shot at what God called me to do. I'm not going to miss this moment. Say what? Your old self is incompatible to the new opportunity. Tweet that. So you can't go into a new opportunity and try to apply with your old self, because your old self is going to be denied. God will shut the door. He'll shut a door that no man can open. He'll open a door that no man can shut. 30 years, you can stand up, I'm done. 30 years. I got my little preaching. You missed it. It's over. You missed it. It's over. God tells Jacob, get up, go to Bethel. Bethel means house of God. It's the place where he received a poor self-image, where he tricked his brother out of the birthright that belonged to him. You don't hear me. Because it was prophesied that this would happen. And for years, he carried a trickster's mentality. There's a difference between hustle and being a hustler. You can't hustle God. Your prayers don't change his mind. You're praying to change his mind. That's not prayer. He's quiet. Jacob does not hesitate. That's how I know his hindsight was healed. Hindsight can only be healed through insight. Insight is quick and ready sight. It's really based on intuition. It's really powered by faith. Insight is so intuitive that you don't need an explanation. You know it. And you know it so strongly you move without hesitation. I'm dancing around some stuff, but I really wish I could go in and I can't. But I understand this. I understand it because I needed my hindsight healed. God is calling me to do some stuff right now, and it's so big and it's so beyond me and it's so beyond my grasp and my reach that I'm afraid. It scares me to death. And that's a good thing. Because if it don't, you don't need to do it. You don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear what I'm saying. I'm afraid. Because I've done these things before. I've jumped out on nothing. I've got out and declared it and prophesied it and spoke to it. And you don't hear what I'm saying. I've done all that. Huh? I've done crazy, radical, ridiculous stuff. I've done it. And now God is saying, meet me again. Because nations, you don't hear what I'm saying. Nations are on the line now, son. Nations. You're called to nations. Nations. Nations shall be of thee. And kings shall come out of your loins. There's a king in the cave. You don't hear what I'm saying. Kings shall, you don't hear me. Yeah. The impact that you could have on people's lives is so great if you would just embrace who God really called you to be. If you would see at the next level and say to yourself, he picked me. I don't need an explanation why. I'm that messed up that he picked me. Hallelujah. He tells his family, get up, we're leaving. His family is worshiping other gods. And he tells his family, we can't stay here. When you embrace who you really are, you don't have to give a lot of instruction to the people God has called you to. You don't hear what I'm saying. He says, get up, let's go, we're leaving. Leave your gods behind, change your clothes, because I won't introduce you to a new opportunity with an old version of yourself. Jesus, I'm preaching in here. I am preaching in here. Change your garments. We're going to a different place. I'm talking to somebody in this room. Change your garments. You're going to a different place. Take off that spirit of heaviness. Take off that counterfeit cloak you wear. Smiling in church, hurting on the inside. Take it off. It's not helping you. It's not helping you. You can't get no help that way. Acting like you got it all together doesn't help you. Pride is an ugly thing. His family gets up and moves quickly. They don't hesitate. This time there's no wrestling match. Where you're going is not a fight. Where God is taking you, it's not a fight. There's no wrestling match this time, because he embraced it. And the first thing he said to his family was, when we get there, we're going to build an altar. Oh, God, I got to hear me. Because our identity has to be centered in our worship. Our identity has to be centered in our relationship with God. Who I am, has to be centered in who he is. Because if it's not, I will not see myself like he sees me. So he builds an altar. And he pours out a drink offering. And he pours out the oil. That oil and that drink offering represents two things: who he was and who he's going to be. And today, God has given you a second chance. I didn't have a catchier title, but this might be your thousandth chance. It's just another shot. Maybe I should have called it another shot. You get the point. It's another shot to pour out who you were. Yeah. So that God can fill you, yeah, God, with what you're going to be. So pour out who you were so God can fill you. Of what you're going to be. Because the next thing you do is going to come out of the next you. It's going to come out of the next you. And I want to pray for some of you who've been wrestling with your self-concept, your self-esteem, your self-awareness. You're going to do some great things, and you're still trying to figure out why God picked you. And you're sitting there having conversations with God in the middle of the night saying, God, you can't be serious. I know I'm talking to somebody. You might not be acting like it right now, but I know I'm on it. Your marriage is on the line. Your family's on the line. Your future. Your life. You cannot be fake in this new season. It's okay to be hurting. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to have difficulties. The difficulties do not define you. They refine you. They do not define you. They refine you. So here's a shot. And I'm going to make two altar calls. Two altar calls. And I pray you listen. The first altar call is for those who know you need to re-embrace who God has called you to be. And you're becoming a version of yourself that you don't even like. And it's driving you crazy. And you want to get out of it. And you want to be rid of it. You want to stop drinking. You want to stop smoking. You want to stop looking for love in all the wrong places. All those things are surface issues of stuff you keep covering up. That's why you keep running to it. And I'm not trying to be psychological on you. I'm trying to do this by the Spirit of God. I don't have a psychological footing or premise to be able to articulate it psychologically. I'm doing it prophetically. I'm telling you that here's a moment for the Spirit of the living God to come and touch your life and change you in a radical way. All by you taking a step of faith and saying, I do not want to be that person anymore. And I want to open this altar to you, and I want to do it right now. And so if that's you, I want you to take a moment to meet me at this altar. Don't hesitate. Don't worry about who's looking at you, because we all had to make that same choice. And I want you to come meet me right here at this altar right now. Yeah, 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 uh-huh, yeah. That's what I'm looking for, yeah. Yeah, 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 uh-huh, mm-hmm. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, honey, come on, come on. My leaders are praying, my leaders are praying, my church is praising, my leaders are praying, and my church is praising. Come on. The Bible says something powerful. It says, any man that's in Christ is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. You can iterate your salvation because salvation is progressive. It's progressive, and you're supposed to be progressing. But your progress is not governed by opportunity. It's governed by identity. You have to know that God created you to be something special, something powerful, something more than. You are more than a conqueror. Come on, sweetie. You are more than a conqueror. 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 You are more than. You are more than. You are more. They're fine. They're fine. They're fine, ushers. Ushers. They're fine. They're fine. You're more than. You embraced an identity that somebody gave you. And you embraced it and called it your own. So if you could do that, then you can embrace the version that God has for you. Yeah. You can embrace the version that God has for you. And God's version is better than anybody else's version. Because it is He that made us. God, Jesus, I feel it. And not we ourselves. And if we didn't make us, we can't fix us. But the Creator can. So today you come back into the manufacturer's workshop. And He's going to make you over because you got a lifetime warranty called the blood of Jesus. He's going to make you brand new. He's going to renew your mind. He's going to renew your spirit. Oh, I wish I had a church. He's going to renew your heart. He's going to renew your memories. He's going to heal your hindsight. He's going to heal your insight. Lift your hands. Father, we thank you for every person that's at this altar. We thank you that they have entered into your factory this morning. They've had some defects in their life. Defects in their psyche, defects in their character, defects in their emotions, defects. And today, Father, you are going to reconcile it, because you told them that you would never leave them nor forsake them. You said your blood never loses its power. You said we didn't make us, you made us. So that means we belong to you and we're your responsibility. You gave us a motto in scripture that you would leave the 99 to go find the one. That's how much you love us. So Father, they're here. They're here. They're here. Touch every person in this moment. Renew every life. I pray right now, for healed memories. Jesus. Healed thoughts. Healed habits. Healed purpose. Father, I thank you that you're healing the broken parts of them that they can't even tell nobody about. But you're doing surgery right now on every facet of it, and you're making them over. Shield them with your precious blood. Not, don't let one toxic thought re-enter into their mind, into their ear. I thank you, Father, for what you do today. And we celebrate you now because we believe he that has begun a good work shall bring it into completion. So you're not just remaking them, you're completing them so that they can go into their next assignment. And we give you praise for it right now in Jesus' name. You agree with that prayer? You give God praise for these people? Come on, give God praise. Y'all stay right here. Stay right here, because I want to do this all at once. My second altar call, I'm done. We got to go. The ice cream is here. My second altar call is for individuals who know that your identity is linked to this church, and God has been touching you and saying to you that you need to be here, that this is your Bethel, this is your home, this is your house of God. And I want to open the doors of this church because you've determined in your heart to make this your church and me your pastor. I want to be your pastor. I want the job. I want God to wake me up in the middle of the night concerning you. I want to preach to you the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to see your life blessed, and I want to see your life grow. I want to see your family blessed. So here's your opportunity to come and join us. You can do it right now. God bless your sweetheart. God bless you, honey. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, church. Celebrate with us. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on. God bless you, honey. God bless you, family. God bless you. Come on, church. Come on. Yes. Welcome home. Welcome home. I mean that with every fiber of my being. I mean that with every fiber of my being. My wife and I take ministry very seriously. I will never abuse you with the word of God. I will never manipulate you or trick you. I will never con you. I can only preach this word. The day I give you something else, you got my permission to leave. Your enemies are our enemies. And it's not just me, but all these wonderful people. We got your back. Welcome to Kingdom Life Church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Here's what I want you to do for all of you who are at this altar, particularly, I'm sorry, for the ones that just joined this church. I see this wonderful lady in the gold dress. I want you to turn and go with her. For those of you who just joined this church, she's going to give you some information on the decision you just made. Come on. Come on. Come on. If you are already a member of this church, which so many of you are, I love you. God bless you. You got made over today. Yes, you did. Yeah, you might as well give God a shout of praise for it right where you are. Yeah, everybody lift your hands all over the church. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you, and may his blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. Go enjoy the ice cream.